This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is David Gardenstein-Ross, Vice President of Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. We want to get his insights into the reported killing of the top Taliban figure inside Pakistan by Tula Masood. Several credible sources have said, in fact, that a U.S. missile was successful in killing Masood. And David, thanks so much for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
Bring our listeners up to date on who this figure is. What's the significance of him being killed, if in fact he was killed?
Baitullah Masood was the leader of a group called Tehrik-e-Taliban Pakistan, which is the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan. He was appointed leader of that group in December of 2007, and he was significant for a few reasons, one of which is that he was Pakistan's most prominent Taliban leader. He commanded tens of thousands of well-trained fighters, and his fighters were able to defeat the Pakistani military in several different engagements. Another reason why he was a significant figure is because he was implicated in a number of different terrorist attacks. One of the things he's been fingered for, although there hasn't been definitive evidence, is a role in the assassination of former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto, which occurred shortly after her return from exile.
And so what is the operational structure there? Will this be a huge blow to them, or is there are there other figures that are ready to step up and essentially carry on where he left off?
There are other significant figures. There will probably, in the short term at least, will be a crisis in the Pakistani Taliban's leadership, and there will probably have to be more resources expended on making sure that the top leaders of the Pakistani Taliban are protected. Baitullah Masood played a significant role because even though there's a somewhat decentralized structure overall, Masood served as a figure who could basically unify operations, kind of like the way that the Al-Qaeda terrorist network is decentralized to a degree, but the central leadership, bin Laden, Zawahiri, and others, are relevant in directing how operations will take place. I would analogize them, although, you know, there are multiple points of difference between Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, quite obviously. The question will be, can another figure step forward who could pick up where Masood left off, directing basically how you can coordinate between these various Taliban movements and Taliban networks within the country of Pakistan? And there are some figures, including Mullah Nazir, Hakimullah Masood, and Qari Hussein Masood, who both have been aligned with Al-Qaeda, and also who could step up and take on much more of a significant role within the Pakistani Taliban.
David, you mentioned that this could be briefly chaotic for the Pakistani Taliban. Could that brief chaos be of a significant advantage for the Pakistani military trying to keep pushing against the Taliban?
It could be, but there's also another possibility. The other possibility is that the Pakistani military will use Masood's death as an excuse not to go into South Waziristan, not to continue to take the fight to the Taliban. If so, then it actually provides the Taliban, paradoxically, with a great amount of breathing room. We're going to have to watch carefully and see how the Pakistanis themselves respond to this.
Do we get the sense that the Pakistanis don't necessarily have the heart we'd like them to have on this?
Well, yeah, in the sense that the Pakistani military has frequently expressed the view that it didn't want to go after some significant parts of the Taliban network. For that reason, I think that a lot of people within the Pakistani military would love an excuse to not have to go in and take the fight there.
David, do you get the sense we're headed towards a major restructuring of the policy in Afghanistan? We've seen the British criticism of our policy in that region. We've seen that we may be sending thousands more U.S. troops there. And obviously, there's some pretty tough fighting going on there now as we launch a relatively major offensive in the southeastern part of Afghanistan, which is obviously on the other side of the Pakistani border. What are we looking at there in the near future, do you think?
We're in the midst of a major restructuring, and we've been in the midst of a major restructuring ever since General Petraeus came in and took over CENTCOM. It was obvious that we needed a different strategy in Afghanistan. Sending more troops to Afghanistan isn't a strategy in and of itself, but it will enable a change in strategy. They've been looking to a number of different changes, including what's called the Joint Public Protection Force, which is a more decentralized mode of combat. There have been some advocates of this this approach. There have been some fierce critics of this approach. But what's obvious is that we are trying new things there, and sending more troops is a way to try to make those new things work, similar to what was done in Iraq when you had a surge. But the change in strategy that General Petraeus brought in Iraq went far beyond the surge, which in and of itself was just sending more troops. He also fundamentally changed the strategy towards counterinsurgency, worked more closely with local allies such as the Sahwa movement, and did other things to make sure that you didn't just send more troops there, but rather the increase in troops was meant to enable a change in direction.
And last question before we let you go. We know there are elections coming up very shortly in Afghanistan. Do we get the sense, as we did with the Iraqis, and in hoping that that government will step up, how satisfied or dissatisfied are we right now with what the Afghan government's been able to accomplish?
Overall, levels of dissatisfaction with what the Afghan government has been able to accomplish run extremely high. It's not clear that elections are going to in any way change that situation.
So we'll keep watching, as I know you will. David, thanks so much for your expertise, as always.
Always a pleasure.
David Gardenstein-Ross, Vice President of Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.